welcome to the Diet Breaker Dietitian Podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Ernest. Do you ever ask yourself, will I always feel stressed about my body or food, or is there a way out? This podcast is to help you align your relationship with food with a faith-centered approach. From debunking nutrition claims, exploring your unique nutrition blueprint, and learning how to detangle the complex relationship with food you grew up with, and learn how God actually wants you to show up. Let's dig in. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Diet Breaker Dietitian Podcast. Today, we are talking about raising little kids outside of diet culture, which is impossible. Let me tell you this, okay? But I want to talk to you about being that home front where diet culture does not exist, okay? Think of this about anything that you would think culturally does not align with your values. That is how we want to address this topic, okay? Many of us are moms, and for many women that I work with, a driver for them to improve their health and their relationship with food has been their kids, okay? Because as moms, do we do anything outside of trying to do something for our kids? I don't think so, but I kind of love that. It is the undertone of thinking of others first over ourselves, which I think can be healthy for us biblically, and the self-feeding culture of just serve yourself all for you, which is a whole different podcast that I'll talk about. But as a mom, it puts our relationship with food into perspective when we are knowingly witnessing to our children. Okay, so today's episode, I want to talk about the topic that many of us are trying to navigate as moms. I know for many women, they grew up surrounded by body shaming and dieting and the constant pursuit of their parent or mom or grandma of losing the next 5 pounds. And that has since left them struggling today with their body and their relationship with food. So first, I want to start off by saying that if you feel like you've not navigated dieting positively or with your body around your kids at this point, that's okay. Okay. Most of us are navigating it at the same time as we're raising littles. And in fact, that might be the driving force behind why we are navigating it. And we see those little innocent minds, hearts, and bodies, and the thought of them struggling with not loving part of themselves is crippling. Okay. They could never not love their little legs, their little hands, their little bodies. Like we love them so much. And so many women are navigating this alongside of raising kids, okay? And so I also just want to give us grace here. Anytime we're learning to be better at something, likely it's because we haven't done it to the best capacity in the past and before. And there are times, and maybe you felt this way, where we haven't been the most loving to our children in some way, shape, or form. And I think one of the most healing things is not being the perfect parent, but the apologetic parent. The parent that recognizes their own sin nature and can go before their kids asking for forgiveness from them and from Jesus, and that they desire to be better and represent Jesus better. Okay, I think that is 10 times more healing than being the perfect parent that never gets anything wrong. Okay, so if you haven't done it to the best capacity, start now, start today. You're not too late. If anything, your desire to chase something else and desire for more rooted love in a more faith-focused approach will be more healing. Okay, so I'll give you context. I have an 8-year-old and I have a 3-year-old. And my goal and theme about food and my relationship with food is obviously not to include diet talk or language about body shaming myself or other people. Okay, by diet talk, I mean there's no good foods or bad foods in our home. Okay, there's no perfect way of eating. We don't shame food. Okay, we don't talk negatively about our bodies or wish for them to be different or that they would be more lovable if I just wished this thing away. This was just fixed. And by body shaming, I mean I don't make comments about my body being ugly or too big or not enough or wishing I had a different body. Okay, I don't pick apart my body when I have feelings of insecurity, which we all do. And at the same time, I'm not going to be exuberant or extravagantly obsessed with my body either. I'm not going to idolize it to just, you know, I'm not going to be like, I have the best body in the entire world, and the thing that makes me the most important is my body and how much I love it. Okay. So I'm not going to try and idolize it in a way to like distract the positive from the negative, because I find both areas can be still very toxic with our relationship with food. Okay. For instance, I don't want to have an unhealthy obsession with how good I think I look or my legs look. I can be appreciative of how I'm maybe feeling strong or do like them. Okay. But it's the point is to not be over the top in either direction. Okay. It's not that it's bad thing to say, but it's that standard, setting the standard for what normal, healthy balance is around how we talk about our body and how we talk about food. Okay. You know, and I also want to say that even if you do, okay, well, two things. I do talk about insecurities with my daughter, my older daughter. You know, there are times when we've witnessed our daughters or kids having an insecure moment. It does not help them to tell them that it doesn't exist. It is meeting them exactly where they are and saying, yeah, sometimes I don't like the way my hair is playing around. Or sometimes I don't feel like I look as pretty. And you know what I remind myself? That's not true. It's not invalidating that they're not experiencing it. Saying sometimes I have those bad days and I just have to go on with my day. It's not worth it. It doesn't actually mean anything about me. It's just a bad thought. And it'll go away and I'll feel better tomorrow. And just acknowledging that, yeah, sometimes we're going to have those thoughts. We just don't let them take control of our feelings. So yeah, it's not saying that we never have bad feelings in our house or have insecure, that no, if anything, I'm seeing it more, which is not my favorite, but it's knowing that those things are there and not indirectly validating it by saying the opposite. You know, like if your kid comes up and says something like, Mom, I think I look fat, or I think I look ugly, or my hair looks stupid. Doing the opposite and being overly obsessive about, no, your legs don't look bad. No, your legs don't look ugly. No, your hair doesn't look ugly. Okay? Their hair might be whack that day. Okay? All right? You're not going the opposite direction by affirming that. And here's why I think that is important. Because you are indirectly confirming that fat is bad, or having legs that look bad is bad about you, or having legs that aren't perfect is bad. And if their legs were to change and look any different from where they do right now, where they're standing, then that's bad. The change is bad. Okay? Instead of just recognizing that sometimes we have negative thoughts about our body, and that is part of the human experience, but we don't let them take hold. We push past them and we express thankfulness and contentness for where we're at in the vessel God gave us. Okay? So all that said, secondly, I want to say that even if you do everything right as a mom and a parent, and we display a wonderful relationship with food, and we never have a slip up, which is impossible, and one day your kid begins to struggle with disordered eating or body dysmorphia or something like that, that's okay. Okay, your kids will likely experience culture and insecurities in their lifetime. And instead of believing that we have to prevent that, the more powerful approach is to build really resilient kids and to be a home where they can come and practice that, and they can navigate those feelings so that when they go back out into the world, they know where their worth comes from in Jesus, okay? It's building them to expect that there is adversity out there, and it's our job is to direct our heart and our gaze back at God and find where our worth really truly is found, okay? So helping them navigate their insecurities versus trying to diminish or pretend that they don't really exist is where we want to hit the mark, okay? Let me give you an example, okay? Let's say there's your daughter's getting dressed. She's dressing herself up, and she always has like this expressive, fashionista way of getting ready. She doesn't like your input. Your input's trash. Her input's great. She thinks you dress real. Anyway, she's independent. She's confident. She loves it. And you're like, I love that about my girl. She doesn't care what she looks like. She's always confident. And then one day, she was distressed with her appearance. Okay. And it's out her outfit or her hair or the way she looks or the fact that she lost teeth and now they're gone and now her face looks different. You know, during this bit of frustration, I want you to, you know, The typical mom thing is to say, honey, you look just fine. And you can say that, okay? But you might notice it doesn't solve the problem, does it? Now, you might know that they look fine. They look like a kid. They don't look no different. But the thing is, they feel different. They're struggling with something inside of them and they don't know where to put it. And we could decide to help them where to adequately put that struggle, how to address that struggle, give them options. So don't offer to fix anything, okay? Don't offer to just be like, well, don't smile if you lost your teeth, or shave your head if you don't like your hair, or lose weight if you feel fat. Like, those are terrible ways to maybe, or maybe not terrible, one of them is terrible, to address an insecurity. Instead, desiring to teach your daughter right then and there that that is an insecure thought. Hey, that's something we all have. And we don't let it run our life, okay? Is it that feeling that looks insecure and teaching her how to get through it will be something we have to remind them constantly to do, okay? So our approach should be to notice those feelings. Get down on that level. What do you feel like when you feel secure? Insecure. You don't like it. And it doesn't matter if your husband says, you look just fine. It doesn't hit it, does it? It doesn't make it go away. So maybe it's like, honey, recognizing it looks like you feel frustrated with what's going on. Looks like you're feeling some negative feelings. You know, what's going on? They might say, yeah, I just feel like I look stupid. I don't like my hair. My outfit's not right. My teeth are gone. I feel like my legs look bigger. Maybe they're growing through puberty and they're growing. Okay. I feel like I look so dumb. I don't like the way I look. Instead of doing the honey, you look fine, decide to, you know, share maybe moments when you don't. Normalize that, like, I'm not saying like share negative thoughts like about it, but say, you know, I've been there too. Okay. There are times when we feel like this, and sometimes we feel that funk. However, our job isn't to let those feelings take control of our day. We have to decide how to navigate past them. For me, that is reminding myself it's okay to feel insecure, but I am not those insecure thoughts. I might feel not pretty today, but I am not pretty. Or I am not ugly. I am not invaluable. I am not more worthy because I lost teeth or something, okay? Tomorrow, I'll probably feel great. Tomorrow, it's going to go brush off, okay? I think we want our daughters to know that we find her beautiful and that I think she's beautiful. I want my daughter to know that. And I also, that I find her God-given beauty is a beautiful craft of God, but I also don't want to communicate that it is one of the most important things in her life that should dictate all of her energy and thought, okay? She will grow up in a culture that praises looks, money, and status. So my goal as a mom is to reflect that even if that is what the world portrays, the most valuable is where she comes from and who loves her. And that she has a mom who reflects this. That I'm not saying you look great and then I'm self-obsessing, that I'm tearing apart my body, that I'm skipping meals, that I'm doing crazy diets trying to fix the way that I look to look better, or say I can't wear shorts because my legs are too this. Okay, then I am telling her that this is her future. I'm confusing her mind because in her mind, I'm perfect and she loves me, okay? And when she sees someone that she loves doing that, they internalize it. They don't think that about you. They internalize it for themselves. So this is an example, you know, where our kids are going to watch us grow up and they will learn their versions of normalness, you know? I mean, we all have these. Sometimes we share a normal thing from our family and someone's like, that's not normal. And you're like, oh, okay. So let's try and think of what our norms could be. Can our norms reflect Jesus, even in the most basic ways of our insecurities? Okay, the norms about how we talk about our body, appreciate it, take care of it, and ultimately realize that the highest value that we have in life is our commitment to Jesus. This does not mean that I forego wearing makeup or enjoying some of the beauty pleasures in life, no. But just as she watches me get dressed up for a pretty date and feel ready, I also want her to see me comfortable without makeup and being comfortable in it, to find joy and beauty in those moments of the raw and undressed up. I want her to find her imagination of how she feels in expressing her beauty while not idolizing it. and having her inner faith drive her feelings of acceptance and peace, because the world continues to try and tell us that we only find it in outward ways. So diet culture and wellness culture will continue to influence us that we're not enough, that we're always going to be not enough, and it's always going to have that drive of I need a little bit more. I need a little bit more self-care. I need a little bit more weight loss. I need a little bit more health. Okay? And I think diet culture and wellness culture is a wonderful opportunity to teach our kids the example that there will always be areas of the world that will tell us fulfill your happiness here or elsewhere, or in the achieving this, you'll be doing better. But our job is to seek contentment and direction from God while living in the culture. It is not to hide from culture, but to be an example of how to be a light in it. So for diet culture in our bodies, that likely means not being pushed around by the latest diet fad, or to stop chasing the last 5 pounds, and instead actively give that desire to God and live our lives so thankful for what He has given us, and taking care of our body as a responsibility, for sure. You know, and that also can look like challenging our sloth-like behaviors. And I say sloth because it's one of the 7 deadly sins, just as vanity and the unhealthy obsession with ourselves. It could mean challenging our temptation to not try at all, but to overcome our desires, but not on our own, not without God's help and guidance, and not to feel more desired by culture standards, but by godly standards. So if you enjoyed today's podcast, would you do me a favor and share on your socials where you're watching and what you enjoy most about challenging ourselves to fight off diet culture? This does me a huge favor by sharing the podcast. It helps the podcast grow. It also tells me what you all like to see and learn, what you enjoy about, when you just like high five and like, yes, that again. Last and final plug, if you have not signed up for the Bible study that I'm writing, we are on chapters 5 and 6, and I am thrilled, and I cannot wait for you to get signed up on and get guaranteed access to the book and get this Bible study into your hands, because it has been a labor of love for the last almost 2 years, okay? You will have early access before anyone else, so you can guarantee the book makes it into your hands. You'll also get just special pricing for launch listers. I'm going to email a code out so you get extra special pricing. And lastly, you get to make sure that you get the book before we do a 6-week Bible study launch, where I will be leading us through this Bible study for 6 weeks through a live training for free just for purchasing the book. So you will get to connect with so many women here that are going through this, that are like, yes, I need to desire God in a deep way when it comes to my relationship with food. So you can do this with yourself, or ask your Bible study to do that, or grab a couple friends that you feel like would love this and attend these live trainings. Okay, so go ahead and go to the show notes, share this podcast, and grab your spot on the Bible study launch list. I will see you.